You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today on this Thursday. Along with my associate, Pastor Darren Solano, we greet you here today, you guys and gals. Thanks for spending 30 minutes of your Thursday with us. You are tuning in to WGOD. You see, God's always broadcasting. He always has a word for you. We're going to go to where he speaks today. That's what we do. I know the secret. I share it with you. God's always broadcasting. If you need a word from God, then let's go into his word. And that's what I always do here. Preach the word of God. And we make the word of God is what we do here. I don't preach on things. I preach on the word of God. Of things, we illustration, stories will come up through it. Or I won't preach subjects, but I focus on the word of God. All those things will come about as you're preaching through the word of God. We're going to hear some today. As we're preaching the word of God, you'll hear some story from me on how to do it wrong. But the text is where the word of God speaks. God's going to say here today through the Apostle Paul that God has determined. Well, here it is here, Acts chapter 17. It says, he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and he has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling or habitation. Now, I've got a history of doing that wrong, and it's a painful thing to get that wrong. God has determined when you're supposed to live, and hear me now, God has determined where you are supposed to live. Get outside of that, and you get outside of the will of God, and then you find yourself running against the wind. Do you find yourself there today? Is God still waiting on you to do something? We use the word God is long-suffering in a good way, but I'll tell you what, sometimes it's a bad thing. He's long-suffering, meaning it's all the same day to him. You and I go through the grind, we suffer, things aren't going right, while yet God instructed you to do something a while back, perhaps, and you haven't done it yet, and it's all still the same day. He has all the spare time in the world as he waits on you and mine being obedient to him. So that's where we're at. We're in Acts chapter 17. We're going through the book of Acts verse by verse here at Island Community Church. We'll be in the next chapter, 18, on Sunday, where we also will have Holy Communion on Sunday. We would love to see you for our service. You are invited Sunday morning at 10:30. Island Community Church is at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. Okay, let's get into the word now. Let's hear Paul's. Let's hear perhaps, I think, it's the greatest sermon of all time, Paul on Mars Hill. Okay, Paul's in Athens. He has a week probably before his buddies arrive. So now he's going to hang out in Athens some and see what's going on there. Verse 16. Now, when Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Personally speaking, many times this is where sermons come from me as well. Something spontaneous, something from my surroundings, or from something that I read. Verse 17, therefore, he reasoned in the synagogues with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers, and in the marketplace daily were those who happened to be there. Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, what is this seed picker trying to say? Babbler.
Others said he seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. You see, you can't preach Jesus without the resurrection, can you? They're inseparable. You can't preach Jesus without the resurrection. Receive Christ and rise again. Receive Christ and live again. There's no separating the two. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has what? Raised him up from the dead. You will be saved. Romans 10:9. All right, verse 19. So they took him and they brought him to the Areopagus. Okay, now Aries means Mars. Remember that? There's going to be a quiz later. Aries means Mars. Don't forget it. That's why the King James Version here has Mars Hill, Areopagus. So they took him and brought him to Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak? For you're bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing." All right, now Paul's answer is textbook. Matter of fact, it is textbook. Seminary textbook on how to preach a sermon. This is in textbooks of seminaries all over the world, looking at Paul's sermon here with how to do it right. So you start with a compliment. Verse 22. If you have a King James Version here, it's not a compliment. That's because this is the only time this Greek word here is used, and they don't know how to translate it. It can either mean something good, or it can be something sarcastic or something not good. Verse 22, "Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, 'Men of Athens, I perceive in all things that you are very religious.'" You see, he starts with a compliment, but the King James translators have, "I see in all things that you're too superstitious." So, this is the only time this Greek word is used. They really don't know. We really just tell from the context here as we're moving. See, I think he's complimenting them first. "I can see how you people are very religious." So he's excellent, he's saying. "I'm glad that you are religious. I'm grateful that you all agree to the existence of God. Now, speaking of God," verse 23, "for as I was passing through and consider the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription." It said, "Prosagnosto Theo," that is, "to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I want to proclaim to you." That is just absolutely brilliant what this man just did. He took an inanimate object he found in the town square. He took a sign, just in case the Greeks had forgotten any god. They put a little sign up there. Oh yeah, we're just gonna. You see, now I can see why the King James translated that little too superstitious, right? Just in case we forgot someone, we're gonna put a sign over there that says "Prosagnosto Theo." Just in case I forgot someone, we'll put that little sign there. Then we're covered, right? I mean, that's kind of superstitious, right? So actually, both are right. He continues, "God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life and breath and all things." You see, it's good that you people want to worship God, but God is not who you think he is what he's saying here. He doesn't need you to bring him a glass of water and leave it here. He doesn't need you to do anything to sustain him, since it is he that gives life and breath and all things to all of us, right? Verse 26. "And he is made from one blood." All right, the one blood would be who? Adam. Someone said Adam, right? He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth. And he has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are his offspring. Okay, there's another profound statement, and one that I have had to learn the hard way and with much pain and suffering. First off, point number one, that God has determined when you live. That's no accident or chance. God has determined when you live. I mean, how cool is that? Of all the ages that you could have lived, think about it. From Confucius to Napoleon, from George Wash to Abraham Lincoln, from Adam to Moses, God's got you alive in the last hour. And after the rebirth of Israel, he makes no mistakes for when you live. Point number two, God has determined where you live. God has determined where you live. Do you see that? God has determined the boundaries of your dwellings. Now, this is not, he's not talking about Moses or his replacement, Joshua, or the 12 tribes. He's talking to a bunch of Greeks and Gentiles. He's talking to you. God has determined what age you're going to live in. And that age is right here and now. God's determined where you're going to live. God has determined where you are supposed to live. Hear me now. God is talking to you here this morning. Okay? Let me tell you how painful it is to get outside of those boundaries. When you get outside of those boundaries, it's like running against the wind. You're like Jonah on the boat, where everything works against you. Unfortunately, I've done this. I took sin in the workplace personal, and I moved when I shouldn't have moved. God wanted me to be a light in the darkness, but instead I moved when I was supposed to stay right where I was. Don't let sin move you out, but be a light right where you are. Don't say, oh, well, I work amongst a whole bunch of sinners. I can't take it. God must not want me here. He must be calling me to move, when maybe he's calling you to do the exact opposite of that. Maybe he wants you to be a light right where you are and make an influence and turn your crooked world, whoop, right side up. I made the mistake. My addition was wrong there. Be like Paul. Turn your crooked world right side up. Now, when that happened to me, I lost my Midas touch that I had, like I have now. I'm right where I'm supposed to be. Isn't that true? I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be right here in this pulpit at 11:22 on this Sunday morning, 19th of July, year of our Lord, 2026. And everything that I touch is going to be turned to gold. Because that's what he does. I'm in the center of God's will. Get outside of that. You see, you lose all of that when you get outside of God's will and where you're supposed to be. I failed at everything that I touched when I got outside God's will and I got outside of the boundaries that he had determined that I was supposed to live in. And apparently, when I pulled a football and I looked at the game film after the fact, I discovered that God took that very seriously. It wasn't just one of those things. You know, I can add a point number three that's not exactly in this text, but it's still is something that he has determined as well, and that is God has determined who you're going to marry and who you're going to be with. God has determined who you're going to marry. Get outside of that. It's happened to me years ago. Innocent enough, I didn't do anything wrong. And I was sitting in the movie theater one day, and then all of a sudden, wham! And I knew I was with the wrong person. And I broke up with her that day. Because I believe that God has determined who your spouse is supposed to be. And I believe as well, I can't prove it, I can just share my testimony with you. I think that God takes that serious as well. Sometimes he lets you do things and you fail and you fall and you learn. And then sometimes God's got to intervene in your life, like getting outside of his boundaries and being with the wrong person that's not God's will. See, praise God, God's will for me was this young lady right here. Praise God. Where would I be without this woman? I don't even know where I would be. But I'll tell you what, without God interfering with that, and without God interfering with that, I wouldn't be the pastor of this church right now. And I'm grateful for that because I love what I do. I love all of you. I can't perish the thought doing something else or being somewhere else. So allow me to probe a little, poke and prod. Has God instructed you to go somewhere and you have neglected to go? Has God instructed you to stay? Back where you were supposed to be and you left, perhaps for some greener pastures on the other side, like I did, and now you feel like Jonah, where just everything is working against you. Sometimes you can't get back what you lost. But other times, God is waiting on you. He's waiting on you to do what he's instructed you to do. And nothing will improve in your life until you go back and make that right. He's waiting on you. And the bad news today is God is long-suffering. Right? It's all the same day to him. But yet we suffer and we suffer and we suffer. We're restricted by this time and we suffer and we got what they say in Italian. I got a stomach full of agita. Not him. It's all the same day to him. Right? So we're glad he's long-suffering, but in this way, man, oh man, that's too bad. He's not in a hurry. He's waiting on us. Maybe he's waiting on you. If you don't know the answer to that, I suggest maybe you fast and pray. Fast. Give up something that you love for a period of time. Fast and pray and seek God's face. And I believe he will show you, maybe back at that point, if you've gotten outside of the center of his will. Are you where you are supposed to be? When you are, then great peace will accompany that. All right, now let's get back here to Paul's sermon, verse 29, and let's wrap this up. Starts with the word therefore. And here's his therefore. Now he's going to drive home this point. Now he's going to finish this sermon. Anytime you get to a therefore in his sermon, he's made his point. He said what he's going to say here. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, like your own poets have said. Now here you see how pastors are always supposed to be reading. Did you catch that? He said, as your own poets have said, he must have done some reading on his way to this town. Pastors are supposed to educate themselves. You're supposed to read and have a little knowledge. He read a little bit about this town before he got there. Then he laid that on them, as your own poets have said. So now he's going to hit them with quoting their very own poet there from that town. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, like your famous poet said.
We ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone or something shaped by art or man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God has overlooked. But now he commands all men everywhere to repent. Now the King James here says that God's winked at to overlook, to bear with, the word means, or to endure. These times of ignorance God has overlooked. But now, you see, now he's not winking anymore. See, you now have the opportunity to have your sins absolutely obliterated and destroyed and remembered no more. Because the Redeemer has come now. And he's paid the price for your sins. And since that's true, he has now commanded all men to repent. From you, to you, to you, to you, to you, to me. Since the Savior is here, the Redeemer is here, he now commands. See, he's not winking. He's not winking. That's what Darren does when we go to Sonny's. He winks at the waitstaff there, and that means to give him an extra supply of French fries. Thank God his wife knows when he's winking at someone what it's about. He goes in there, he goes like that, he just winks. It's back when he was eating French fries, you give him a wink, and they'd say, I got it. Out come the Mongo-sized French fries. Just there. And that's what God did with our sins temporarily. God winked at all of these sins from Adam all the way to Jesus. But now that Jesus is here now, now he has appointed a day when there's going to be judgment for all this sin. What are you going to do with your sins? Now, you see, now he has appointed a day. Well, he's commanded the day for all men to repent. Because, verse 31, he has appointed a day in which he's going to judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He's given assurance of all this, meaning here's your proof. Here's your proof of everything that he said is true, okay? Given assurance of this by, to all, what's it say? By raising him from the dead. There's your proof. He's not in the grave anymore. There's your proof. Hallelujah, what a sermon this is. Powerful words still hanging over the world today, like the sword of Damocles. Because it hasn't happened yet, that day is closer than ever. And the opportunity is still given today. Repent of your sins. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ. While it's still today. He's given assurance of what he said by raising Jesus from the dead. The people that wrote down the New Testament were all eyewitnesses. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And God's given assurance to all that by raising him up from the dead, authenticating every word he ever said. Anyone can get up here and say that. But Jesus is alive. And that's the difference between Paul Esposito saying it and him saying it. He said, those who have seen me have seen the Father. And he's given assurance of this by raising him from the dead. He says, oh, how narrow is the gate which leads to life. And there are so few people that are going to find it. He's given assurance of all this by raising him up from the dead. He says, I am the resurrection. And God's given assurance of all that by raising him up from the dead. Verse 32, now when they heard of the resurrection from the dead, some mocked him, while others said, we'll hear you again about this matter. So Paul departed from among them. So let me leave you today with this promise. These past times of ignorance God has winked at. But now he has appointed a day that is a day on his calendar. Like the Battle of the Bulge, D-Day, Mother's Day, Groundhog Day, President's Day,
Valentine's Day. Here, Judgment Day. It's right there with these other days on his calendar. And he has appointed a day. God has appointed the day on which he's going to hold you and I accountable for what we've done with Jesus Christ. He will judge the world in righteousness by the man there whom he's ordained. And that man is Jesus. And if you receive his son, then you will never stand in the judgment. If you receive his son, you will never stand in the judgment because he was judged in your place. That's why they call it the good news. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your son. We cling to the old rugged cross. And all of our trophies we lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your substitutionary death. Thank you for dying in our place. Thank you for taking our judgment upon yourself. We thank you. We call on your name. Lord, you promise whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We do all that here. Everyone here, those that are watching on YouTube, those that are listening in on the radio, Lord, you promise whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We do that now. We call on your name, our Lord Jesus Christ. With the heart, one believes, and we believe. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. We believe that you are the Son of God, and we receive you here today. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Now, how about a little laugh for your way out? The last verse in this chapter here, verse 34, it says, however, some men joined him and believed. Among those was Dionysius, the Areopagite. So, now for the quiz. If Aries means Mars, that would make Dionysius the Areopagite a what? And who would have ever known it that the word Martian was in the Bible? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you all and give you peace. God bless, church family. Have an awesome day. We'll see you back soon.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Welcome to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. This is Denny Nugent. Glad you're listening today. You know, from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible makes it clear that all sin leads to death. As Paul says in Romans 6, the wages of sin is death. Yet, in 1 John 5, the writer says that even though all unrighteousness is sin, there is a sin not leading to death. Okay, John, what's the difference here? The difference between the sin not leading to death and the one that does?
Context is everything, Denny, when you're studying the Bible. In Romans chapter 6, we're talking about the condition of unbelievers. The wages of their sin is death. And in the case of 1 John 5, we're talking about believers whose sins are forgiven, but nonetheless, they still sin. We all still sin, even though our sins are forgiven. And in 1 John 5, John says that believers, and this is important, believers can actually commit sins that lead them to death, not spiritual death, not eternal death, but physical death. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and he said, you're abusing the Lord's table. These were believers. And he said, some of you, because of it, are weak, some are sick, and some have died. The Lord literally took their lives because they had desecrated his table. there are sins that can produce in the life of a believer